Welcome to Real Estate Radio, hosted by the real estate therapist, Larry Shagman, a top-producing real estate broker, author, CEO, and founder of TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, connecting you with top-performing agents for 2% commission. Each week, we bring you exclusive interviews with industry experts, covering everything from staging to negotiation strategies to home inspection issues and everything in between. Whether you're selling your home, a first-time home buyer, or a seasoned investor, we've got you covered. Let's make your real estate dreams a reality in this fast-moving and ever-changing real estate market. This program is funded in whole or in part by Trusted Agent USA, Illinois license number 475-145-795. Now, here's Larry.
All right, everybody, welcome back and good Saturday morning. You are listening to the Real Estate Radio Show. We are coming to you live from the studios of WCPT here in Chicago. You can listen to us on, of course, 8:20 a.m. And we are also broadcasting live on YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn and TikTok. So, hey, everybody, we are glad to have you here. And we got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things going on in real estate. As you know, we're going to jump into it and talk a little bit about our what we talked about last week. We kicked off our influencers panel with a couple of great guests that I want to take a minute to thank. Wayne Paprocki, who is a national trainer and former president of NASBAR, which is the North Shore Barrington Association of Realtors, and Patrick Loftus, a prominent Chicago real estate attorney, joined us last week. And we talked about what's about to happen in the real estate industry. So we got some major changes coming up that are going to happen in about 2 weeks. So on August 17th, we are going to see some serious changes that we really haven't seen in decades. The real estate business has, operated on one level for many decades, and now they're changing. And the two major changes that are happening that we discussed last week, and we'll get into a little bit this week as well, is number one, on the MLS. Typically, when you list your home goes on the MLS, and on that MLS listing, it for decades has shown what the co-op commission is, what the seller is willing to pay the buyer's brokerage that brings the buyer to the table and ends up closing that deal, and they sell their home to this buyer. The seller agrees to pay a portion of the listing commission, which can be, anywhere from 4 to 6%, let's say. Typically, it's half of that. So let's say you list your home for 4%. You may decide with the listing agent, we're going to give 2% of that to the buyer's broker that brings the buyer to the table that buys our home. Well, that is no longer going to be, shown in the MLS anymore. So realtors now that are working with buyers are no longer going to know, A, what you're willing to pay the buyer's brokerage, or B, are you going to pay the buyer's brokerage? So that's going to be a little bit different, and well, not a little bit different, but a lot different. And the other thing that's changing, the other major change, is that when a realtor like myself, and I've been a realtor for 24 years, I'm also a title agent. But when realtors work with a buyer, a lot of times in the past, they would work with that buyer without a buyer agency agreement. So in other words, they would get a call from a buyer saying, hey, I'd like to see this home, or I'd like to see some homes, or they get referred to a buyer by a friend or family member, and they say, hey, I'd like to start looking at some homes because we're thinking about buying. I'd like to see what's out there. And they would just go out and start showing them homes, right? You can no longer do that. So now since the DOJ lawsuit and since that class action lawsuit that happened out of, I believe it was Missouri, realtors, buyer agents are now required to have a buyer agency agreement with the buyer they're working with before they show them any homes at all. So you have to have that buyer agreement, that buyer agency agreement in place before you go out and show any homes to any prospective buyer. That buyer agency agreement has to be in place. So the two major changes are no knowledge of if the seller is going to pay a co-op commission or what that co-op commission may be. That is no longer going to be in the MLS. And the other major change is that if you're a buyer's agent, before you show the buyer you're going to be working with home number one, you have to have a buyer agreement in place so the buyer knows what services you're going to be providing and how much they're going to be paying you if the seller is not going to be providing any kind of co-op commission. So those are going to be two major changes. Like I said, I've been a realtor for 24 years, also a title agent. I think, you know, I work with a group of realtors. I head up a group of realtors, I should say, at a Lux Group at LPT. And the things, some of the things we're talking about is, you know, there's no more option of just, you know, getting in the car with the buyer and starting to show them homes. You have to sit down and let that buyer know exactly the services you're providing and exactly what they will be responsible for in terms of your commission if the seller is not paying a co-op commission. Now, here's the thing. I think most sellers will continue to do what they've been doing for decades and pay that co-op commission because that's what gets buyers to the table. That's what gets agents in your door showing your home. Now, that's not to say that if you offer less or if you don't offer anything, they're not going to show your home because then the buyer's just going to be on the hook for that commission. So if you're listing your home for 5% and you're giving away or you're offering 2.5% as a co-op commission to the buyer's brokerage, then, you know, that buyer's brokerage will get paid by the seller, by the seller's brokerage, will pay the buyer's brokerage that 2.5%, which they will then split with their agent and so on. But if the seller is not offering a co-op commission, then the buyer, as per the contract that they will now sign, will be on the hook for that 2.5% commission. And there's, you know, there's a lot of things that could result, you know, that could come into play as a result of that. A lot of buyers, when they're buying homes, they are buying homes really at the top of their you know, what they can purchase for. So coming up, like for instance, on a $400,000 home, a 2.5% buyer's commission, that would mean an additional $10,000 that the buyer will have to bring to the table. That's a pretty hefty amount of money when a buyer is already scraping up the money to come up with the down payment, to come up with the cost for a home inspection, to come up with all of your closing costs, attorney's fees. And so it can create some issues in terms of affordability. So we've talked about that the last few weeks, too, as far as affordability goes. And, you know, it's one of the sticking points that's keeping people on the sidelines. Affordability has gone through the roof in terms of housing just simply because of interest rates, which we'll get into in a little bit here. There's some good news on that front. And also because of home prices, they keep going up. And there might be some good news on that front, but I would temper your, being too excited about good news on home prices, because I don't really see home prices going down just simply because of inventory. So, Wayne and Patrick joined us last week on our influencers panel, and we're going to have an influencers panel the last Saturday of every month at the Real Estate Radio Show. And what we're going to do is invite one or two or two or three people to come join us and talk about what's going on in the real estate industry, what are the headlines, and how are people reacting to them. And Wayne and Patrick did an amazing job last week. We had a great conversation. We all kind of think that this is going to raise the bar in terms of, listen, I think it's a good idea that buyers agents now, like listing agents, have to sit down with their buyers and let them know exactly the services that they are getting and exactly what they'd be paying for those services if the seller is not offering a co-op commission. So like I said, I think in most cases, the sellers will continue to offer co-op commissions in most cases. I'll be surprised if I see a huge shift when it comes to that, that it could really create some issues for sellers as well, less showings, longer times on the market if you don't offer those co-op commissions. And we don't know. You know, we're just going to have to see how this whole thing plays out. But this all takes place as of August 17th. So those changes are coming down the pike in about 2 weeks. And I want to relate it a little bit to a conversation, all these changes, to a conversation I had with Pat Chiarello, who is a real estate brokerage growth consultant that I've had some conversations with recently. And Pat is based out of Calgary. And Calgary is just a crazy real estate market. But he's based out of Calgary, but he works with a lot of brokerages here in the States and as well as in Canada. And in Canada, they went through something similar to what we're about to go through here in the States, in that no longer will co-op commissions be present in the MLS. So brokers aren't going to know what sellers are offering or if they're offering them anything in terms of a co-op commission. And you have to have a buyer's agreement in Canada. Before you start working with a buyer, there has to be a buyer's agreement signed by the buyer, signed by the buyer's agent as well, and their brokerage. When this happened in Canada, Pat told me that really it didn't change a lot of things. You know, a lot of things really didn't change much. In other words, sellers continued to do what they've done for decades, and that is offer that co-op commission. And in addition to that, buyers had no problem signing a buyer's agreement. And a lot of agents, I do, a lot of other agents do, have always had buyers sign buyer's agreements. So they know exactly the kind of services they're going to be getting and what they're going to be paying. Only now that agreement is going to really drill down the fact that the buyers are now going to be responsible for that commission unless the seller is paying a co-op commission. Now, in Canada, all of this didn't really change much. Buyers as I said, did not have a problem signing an agreement because honestly, it's much more transparent. I think it's better when everybody up front, before they start working together, knows exactly how it's going to look, what services are going to be provided, how much money they may or may not be on the hook for, and how that all plays out. I think it's important that agents do that. And I know that we encourage all of our agents to do it. And I think most brokerages have been for a while, but now it is a requirement. There's no longer an option and there's no longer that choice of, hey, do I have this buyer sign this agreement or do I feel comfortable just working with them with no agreement? Actually, having an agreement in place protects everybody. Just like when you list a home, we have to have a listing agreement. And it's the same thing now with buyers as of August 17th. So stay tuned on all that because really what happened in Canada and Pat made this, clear to me how Canada kind of handled it and the agents there kind of handled it. So you meet someone for the first time, right? And before you ever take them out in the car, start showing them homes, are they going to be sign a 6-month agreement with you, buyer's agreement? No, they're not. So I think the way this is probably going to shake out is how it kind of works in Canada, and that is an initial short-term agreement to work together, get in the car, start showing homes, and then once everybody's comfortable and they feel like, you know, we're definitely going to be working together, we'll find you a home, you're happy with the way we provide our service, all this kind of good stuff, right? Then you'll sign a longer contract, and I imagine it'll be like a listing agreement, a 3 to 6 month contract, where you'll be working together for that amount of time. And of course, that can renew after 6 months or 3 months, however long it's going to be. But typically, you're going to find somebody a home within 6 months. So I can see where buyer's agreements will be for about a 6-month period, similar to a listing agreement. You know, if we list a $4.5 million home, our listing agreements will be longer because it takes longer to sell those homes. Marketing times are often longer because the field of buyers, if you will, are much more condensed. There's not as many buyers looking for $4.5 million homes, although the luxury market is really pretty hot right now. So I think what we're looking at here, all in all, just to wrap up this whole thing with these changes happening August 17th, realtors freaking out, buyers and sellers not really knowing probably how to handle this and how to maneuver through these changes. I think we're basically looking at, for buyers agreements, a short-term agreement that'll lead to a longer-term agreement. And then for sellers, I don't really think it's going to change that much because I think most sellers are going to see the value in offering a co-op commission to get as many eyes on your property as possible, because that's how you get the most amount of money for your property when you sell it. You're never more popular than when your house first comes on the market. So when your house first comes on the market, it's never been rejected for price, condition, location, and people are eager to see it. And the more people you can, the more eyes you can get on your property and the more people you can get through the door, the better, the higher the likelihood that you are going to get more money for your home. And you know, you want to drive multiple offers, that's how you do it. Get as many eyes on the property as you can when you first come on the market. So bottom line is, I don't think a lot's going to change as a result of these changes coming up on August 17th. But I'm not in the business of predicting, so we don't know. We're going to have to see how this all plays out. But I, in my opinion, I think it's going to play out similar to how things kind of played out in Canada when some changes took place. Hey, I want to remind everybody that, yes, we are broadcasting live on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. We're also on TikTok. But if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 773-763-9278. I'm going to say that again, 773-763-9278. And give us a call, or if you're watching streaming live, you can text us at that number as well. Remember, Selling Luxury, the second Saturday of every month, we're going to be meeting with Michael Lafito, my partner and associate over at Lux Group at LPT Realty. And we are going to be talking luxury on a micro and macro basis the second Saturday of every month. Now, so be sure to tune in for that. It's exciting, and Michael has a lot of great properties on the market. One of them we'll talk about in a minute is a gorgeous luxury listing in Oakbrook that's on the market for $4.295 million. Great house, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Hey, our question of the day, if you're thinking about calling in, is, you know, everybody's talking about interest rates. Everybody's always talking about interest rates. It's been kind of a boring topic because they've kind of stayed around, you know, the 7% range. But has interest rates, have they stopped you from selling or buying? So have 7% interest rates stopped you from selling because you're sitting on a mortgage that has a 3% interest rate, and there's no way you want to sell out of a 3% mortgage to get into a 7% mortgage, especially if you're buying a more expensive house. So, you know, you're talking about a serious increase in your monthly payment, depending, of course, on how much money you're going to put down. And of course, if you're paying cash, there is no monthly payment. But have interest rates stopped you from selling because you're sitting on a low mortgage? And even though you'd like to sell and move up, or, you know, whatever the reason, have you stopped that process because you're not interested in 7% mortgages because your interest rate is so low? Or if you're a buyer, particularly a first-time home buyer, are interest rates stopping you from getting off the sidelines and getting into the market, buying your first home? It's a good idea to do so. Remember, if you're renting, you're paying somebody else's mortgage. You're building their wealth. You're not building your own wealth. So it's important to keep that in mind, regardless of what the interest rate is. If you have the money and the wherewithal to get into a home, it's way better than renting, and it's way better for your long-term financial health to own your own home as opposed to renting and paying off someone else's mortgage. You may as well pay off your own mortgage, right? So remember, give us a call, 773-763-9278, and give us some feedback on that. Are you staying out of the market because of the interest rates or something else? Let us know what it is. Remember, if you want to sell, buy, or invest, go to TrustedAgentUSA.com. And the thing I like about TrustedAgentUSA.com, when you go there, if you want to skip the whole idea of listing your home and decluttering and staging and getting all kinds of pictures and, you know, everything else you have to go to list your home and get the most money you possibly can, if you'd rather just get a cash offer, you can get a cash offer at TrustedAgentUSA.com. Just by clicking cash offer, and you are going to get cash offers from accredited investors, and go check it out. Now, you may want to just sell your home by owner. You could do that as well on trustedagentusa.com. Or if you just want to go the typical route of listing your home, working with a broker like myself and having us handle everything in it, at Lux Group, what we do when we are working with our sellers is we provide legal services and a closing attorney at our expense. So we're going to save all of our sellers a ton of money when it comes to that. And go check out trustedagentusa.com and let me know what you think about it. So we've moved our entire group, our entire Lux Group has now moved to LPT Realty, which for us has been a real game changer because of the just tremendous amount of marketing we can now offer our sellers in terms of print, online, and it all comes together with just some great print deliverables. And the reason I like print deliverables along with social media, which is of course important, is print is really sticky. People love to look at pictures. They love to pick up printed, you know, magazines and stuff and look at them. Same thing with real estate deliverables. People love printed stuff they can take home. And we have just some great, great opportunities for our sellers when it comes to that. So we're really, really loving that at LPT. I want to mention we have a couple of new listings coming on the market. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk about a few new listings and move right into the subject matter.
Tune in to Real Estate Radio Saturdays at 9 a.m. hosted by the real estate therapist Larry Shackman, a top producing real estate broker, author, CEO, and founder of TrustedAgentUSA.com. Top performing agents for 2% commission, saving you thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Real Estate Radio, the ultimate real estate radio experience. Get insider tips from experts throughout the real estate industry. Streaming live on Facebook at WCPT 820. Trusted Agent USA, Illinois, license number 475-145-795. Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, everybody, we are back and we are happy to have you here once again. Thanks for joining us on the Real Estate Radio Show. We're here every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And I was mentioning when we took that quick break that we have a few new listings coming on the market. And I have a great listing coming on the market in Buffalo Grove. It is a gorgeous property, move-in ready, in-ground pool. It's going to hit the market at around $799,000. And it's about a 7,000 square foot property, including the basement, but just a great property in Buffalo Grove. If you're looking to move in that area, particularly Adley East Stevenson School District, give me a call, 630-921-0611, and I'll give you all of the details on this property. Great property, Buffalo Grove. We also have a property coming on the market in Naperville. This will also have an in-ground pool, so that's interesting, both of those. You know, some people love in-ground pools, some people don't want to bother with them. These are two great properties, and the pools are awesome at both of these properties. Right now, I have a property on the market in Evanston. If you're looking for a townhome, have an amazing three-bedroom, three-story townhome on the market in Evanston for under $500,000, $489,000. And that is an awesome, awesome property as well. Now, I was mentioning a little earlier that my associate, Michael Affido, who's a luxury broker here in the Chicago metro market, also a trainer, helps other agents break into that whole luxury niche. Michael has a great property on the market in Oak Brook. at 3102. I believe it's 3102 White Oak in Oak Brook. And this is just an amazing luxury listing. It's on the market for $4,295,000. And this is about 12,000 square feet of pure luxury space. From the basement to the in-ground pool. This is a property that is sitting on 3 acres in the middle of Oak Brook. So awesome property. If you're in the market for a luxury property like that, give me a call, 630-921-0611. And more importantly, if you just want to talk about any of these properties or what we're talking about here today, give us a call at 773-763-9278. Hey, I want to get into some quick headlines here, and then we're going to talk a little bit about investing in multifamily properties. What makes a good multifamily investment? Well, there's several things that do, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. Before we do that, let's look at some headlines that are driving the real estate market right now. So in their most recent meeting, the Fed left rates unchanged. But they did indicate that September and beyond may be a different story. I personally believe the Fed rate is going to go down in September by probably 0.25%. And I think it'll go down by another 0.25% probably in December. The Fed has hinted at this. And so why would the Fed drop their rate now when they haven't done it in a long time? What's changed where the Feds will now, you know, think come September, hey, drop the rate by 0.25%? Well, a couple of things are really pushing the Fed in this direction. One of them is a slowing job market, which we're going to get into in a little bit here. And the other thing is improved inflation conditions, which we'll also get into. But real quick, slowing job market, there are less hires, less new hires, but also people quitting are slowing down. So the job market is kind of stagnant right now. It's really kind of a softer job market at this time. And when the job market is soft and when the inflation conditions improve, this makes it ripe for the Feds to lower their rate. And I think they will do that. Now, remember, the Feds lowering their rate does not mean that mortgage rates are going to come down precipitously. That does not mean that. The Fed rate is more, connected to short-term rates as opposed to the long-term mortgage rate. So you might see car interest rates coming down as the Fed's lower rates, but you never know. So consumer confidence. Let's talk about consumer confidence a little bit. So consumer confidence was up slightly in July, and while not really robust, it's improving, but consumers are still a little wary and of this whole lingering inflation. So the CPI, like we mentioned last year, is set to end the year with an annual inflation rate of about 2.9%, which is very encouraging because that is inching closer and closer to the Fed's target annual inflation rate of 2%. So we're going to see what happens with that. But, you know, consumer confidence at least is not, you know, totally falling apart. It's staying pretty steady, increased slightly in July, but nothing to, you know, throw a party about. But, you know, things are looking better than they might otherwise look as a result of the improved inflation outlook. So let's hope we can get to that 2% rate before long, because that's what the feds are shooting for. And, you know, the main thing we want to see is some of these prices start dropping on consumer goods and groceries. And, you know, it's funny because the government had just started an investigation as to why prices are still going up in your grocery stores. You know, when you shop, you're not seeing a lot of lower prices. They're coming down a little bit on some products, but not on enough. And you're still seeing prices go up as well. So the federal government is starting to look into it, because we no longer have supply side issues, the things that drove prices up. And I think people are starting to wonder why aren't these prices coming down a little bit? And so we'll see what happens with all that. But, you know, hopefully in the near term, in the near future, we're going to see some of these prices at the grocery stores coming down, because inflation is definitely coming down. But for one reason or another, these prices are not. So let's keep an eye on that. And you know what? Stop buying overpriced product where you're paying more for the product and getting less of the product, because as long as we keep doing that, corporations are not going to lower their prices. You know when corporations start lowering their prices? When their sales start taking a hit and people stop buying their products because they don't like the price they're paying for that product. So it's all in our hands, as it always is, right? So the other thing we want to keep an eye on here are pending home sales and pending home sales in terms of existing homes, and also home sales in terms of new construction. So first, let's take a look at just pending home sales. Now, pending home sales improved a little bit in June, and I think it's really as a result of increased supply and also moderating interest rates, which we're going to get into here in a minute, because we do have a little bit of good news on the interest rate front. So, interest rates have actually come down a little bit. And of course, supply continues to go up. We mentioned last week that nationwide new listings have gone up 30%. So that's a lot, but we're still in a crunch in terms of our total inventory on the market. We're nowhere near where we used to be before the pandemic. And so we still have some work to do there, but new listings are rising. Interest rates have started moderating. You don't see them going up in, you know, any great way. And they're kind of staying right around that 7%. They fluctuate a little bit, but they're staying right around there. And like I said, we'll get into that in a minute. And I think that's the reason why pending home sales improved in June. Now, on the other hand, the NAHB, which is the National Association of Home Builders, they are indicating that home builders are reporting reductions. Now, here's what they're coming up with. So in May, 25% of all home builders said they are experiencing reductions in their asking price and what they're selling homes for. In July, that figure went to 29%. In June, that figure went to 29%. And in July, that figure went to 31%. And so builders are discounting and reducing the price on their new homes by some pretty good numbers, 31% in July. And, you know, I think there's a pretty obvious reason for that. And that is that right now you get more money, you get more bang for the buck when you buy a home, a pre-existing home, as opposed to building a new home. Building costs are still sky high. And so you're going to get more. You're going to get more square footage. You're going to get more bells and whistles. Typically, when you buy a pre-existing home now, as opposed to buying a new home, I think that's why we're seeing new home builders discounting to the tune of, now I don't mean 31% off the price, but 31% of home builders in July are indicating that they are reducing their prices to move inventory. So that's interesting. And I think, again, it's something to keep a close eye on as interest rates come down. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about the job market and how it continues to show signs of softening. Well, it continues to do that. And we mentioned that openings were down slightly in June. So new job openings were down slightly in June. But in addition to that, hirings and quits, they were also down. So the job market is softening, and this is one of the main things that is adding to the speculation that the Feds will reduce their rate come end of Q3 and then end of Q4. So September and December, we want to keep our eyes open for that. I think we are going to be looking at a Fed rate drop. And frankly, as far as mortgage rates go, I'm looking, in my opinion, I think mortgage rates will continue to go down ever so slightly. I don't see any huge jumps down or huge jumps up in terms of the mortgage interest rate. But in my opinion, I do see them continuing to go down a little bit as we move into quarter three and as we move into quarter four. We'll have to see how that all plays out. But I think with, you know, more inventory coming on the market, more buyers coming on the market, with interest rates falling, you are going to see activity, folks, pick up a lot. So if you're thinking about buying a home, is it a good idea to really wait till interest rates hit the rock bottom low you're willing to buy a home at, but now you're going to have to go up against 20 other buyers with offers on that same property? So these are things you want to think about if you're in the market for a home. So let's take a look at mortgage rates real quick, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk a little bit about multifamily investing. But so mortgage rates, you know, they're pretty much where we were a week ago. However, like I just mentioned, how I think they're going to continue to come down bit by bit through quarter three and quarter four. They actually did come down a little bit in the last week. The 30-year fixed dropped ever so slightly, but it's around 6.7% now. FHA and VA are also right around 6.1. And the average rate for a 15-year fixed is around 6.2%. So let's say if you're buying, and how most people do, you're buying on a 30-year fixed, a 30-year fixed mortgage, you're probably looking at about 6.7%. So people that are at 7 and 7.5% are going to start looking to refi. I know that makes all my friends in the mortgage business happy. But we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, I think rates are going to continue to fall over the next, 6, 8, 10 weeks or so, but we'll see what happens moving into quarter three and quarter four. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk a little bit about multifamily investing. We'll see you soon.
Tune in to Real Estate Radio Saturdays at 9 a.m. hosted by the real estate therapist, Larry Shackman, a top producing real estate broker, author, CEO, and founder of TrustedAgentUSA.com. Top performing agents for 2% commission, saving you thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Real Estate Radio, the ultimate real estate radio experience. Get insider tips from experts throughout the real estate industry. Streaming live on Facebook at WCPT 820. Trusted Agent USA, Illinois, license number 475-145-795. Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, we are back. Thank you for joining me. My name's Larry Shackman. I am the real estate therapist and your host every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. on the Real Estate Radio Show. So thanks for joining us today. We are going to take a quick look right now at what's it like to invest in a multifamily property. Is this a good time to invest in a multifamily property? Well, you know, we had my friend and investor on, Randy Langendurfer. Randy is the president of InvestArk. And InvestArk, if you heard our show a few weeks ago, InvestArk really can put you in a great position if you're interested in investing in real estate, but you want to do it in a more passive way. You don't want to be the investor driving the bus that gets the calls in the middle of the night to come fix the hot water heater or whatever else, but you want to invest in real estate and just be one of the passengers on the bus and enjoy the benefit of the profits that you earn while you hold the property and the profits that you earn when you eventually sell that property. That's what InvestArk does. So if that's something that interests you, you want to get in touch with Randy over at InvestArk. But hey, is now a good time to invest in multifamily properties? Well, whether it's a good time or a bad time to invest in multifamily real estate really, I think, depends on several different factors. First of all, here they are again, interest rates. So if interest rates are too high, then that's going to be a real key consideration because it's going to increase your borrowing costs, which is, of course, going to reduce your profitability. You know, one of the things, so interest rates, just to put a point on that, interest rates is something you really want to consider before investing in a multifamily property. I don't think we're in a real bad position right now in terms of interest rates and investing in multifamily properties. That is, you know, that all comes down to the individual as well. Interest rates are something you want to consider. Property values and market trends in your target area are also something that you really want to consider. Are they elevated? Is the demand really high and you're paying elevated prices for these properties? That's something else you want to consider. You know, we talked about interest rates, and then, you know, you really want to keep an eye on those. And because if your financing costs get too out of hand, then your profitability goes right in the tank. One of the things that I like about multifamily investments is really you can kind of control the value of the property. And that's something you can't do with a single family investment. So with a multifamily investment, you could simply raise the rents. If you're invested in a building that has 30 units in it, if you raise the rent, you also immediately raise the value of that building. So it's kind of like forced appreciation. Now, Obviously, you want to be careful about raising rents, and rents have gone through the roof like home prices have in the last several years. But that's something that I like about multifamily investments. It's almost that forced appreciation where you can control the value of the property, where you really can't do that with a single family home because it's so often just based on what comps have sold for and the general market, the local market that you're in. Whereas with multifamily, like I said, you can raise the rent and appreciate the value of that property. So that's something that is important to keep in mind. You know, real estate investing is a long-term strategy, and the fundamental buying decisions, regardless of what you're buying, is pretty much always the same. We're going to end on this, but let's go through these things real quick. The first thing is market location. You want to know where you're buying, and are you buying a Class B, Class B plus, Class A building? Are you buying a fixer-upper? I would not advise that with multifamily properties, but you know, if you have the stomach for that, go for it. But location is extremely important. So that market location, you want to keep in mind. Cash flow analysis. You always want to do a cash flow analysis, see what's going on with the property. What, you know, what is the cap rate? And what's the cap rate of that property? Evaluate the capitalization rate and net operating income for that property. These are all things that you really, really want to evaluate before you pull the trigger on any property. A higher cap rate can offset higher interest rates by improving your return or investment, but you know, everybody says, well, what cap rate should I look for when I'm buying a multifamily property? It really depends. You know, I mean, you're some people say 7-8%, and others, you know, feel differently about that. So, but you do want to look at your cap rate and your net operating income on any property, any multifamily property that you're going to invest in. Of course, you also want to look at your financing options, and you want to look at your general marketing conditions and your general market conditions. Super important. You want to analyze your local real estate trends. Remember, all real estate is local. All real estate is local. So yeah, we can look at things on a macro level, but when it comes right down to it, when you're selling a house, you need to know what's going on locally in that market, period. Now, the last thing you want to consider when buying a multifamily property as an investment is, what are the reserves and what's the contingency planning? Has the property maintained adequate reserves to manage unexpected expenses? That's super, super important. Also, you want to take a look at vacancies, particularly it's crucial during periods of higher interest rates. So those are some things to really take to heart if you're thinking about getting into multifamily real estate investing. You guys, I am so happy you guys joined us this morning. Remember, we're here every Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m., the Real Estate Radio Show. You can call in at 773-763-9278. Now, do not go anywhere. Stay tuned for Art and Bobby, and where are they now? We'll see you next Saturday.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shagman, the real estate therapist and top producing broker. Now go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and save thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Illinois license number 475-145-795. Tune in next.